The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. Welcome to Monday. Yay, Mondays. Today is Monday, March 16th, and I am Brian Burkle. I will be your host today. We are, as always, live and local here at the WTBR studios on Federico Drive. And today we have a conversation about Seeing Rainbows, a nonprofit organization here in Pittsfield, serving the transgender community in Berkshire County. So when we come back from the weather, we will get into that conversation. So let's see what the National Weather Service has to tell us in the tea leaves about the next couple of days.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Flood watch in effect through Tuesday morning. Wind advisory in effect from 2 p.m. this afternoon to 11 a.m. EDT Tuesday. Rest of tonight, rain. Night is cool with lows in the mid-30s. Temperature rising to around 40 through sunrise. Southeast wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there is our weather. Wet and rainy. Obviously, it being March, we're all used to the fact that winter is not over yet. So we are glad to have, some people are glad to have rain. Some people like the snow, but it may not be over yet. Either way, there are signs of spring, which is promising. So this morning, here on the Morning Drive, we're going to have a conversation about a nonprofit organization called Seeing Rainbows. And it's we'll get into definitions of what an executive director is for this organization. But for basic understanding, the executive director is here with me, and her name is Mayan Nuri Heat. Nuri, how are you?
Oh, I'm waking up. That robot voice reading the weather was sure a thing.
AI weather.
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
It's everywhere.
I don't know. I don't know where that generates from. Yeah, exactly. But it's the same voice that's been on there for a long time. So.
My goodness.
Yeah, it predates AI. So
let's hope, right?
Yeah. So how are you doing today?
I'm awake. Yeah. I'm here. Uh-huh. I've got a busy week ahead of me. It's like you said, my I'm sort of the de facto executive director of the organization. So what that means is that I run the day to day, whether that means meeting with people, talking about our work, organizing our programs, running our programs sometimes, dealing with the accounting, dealing with the taxes, dealing with funders and grants and grant reports and all of the different things. All the fun stuff, which is not to say I'm the only person doing it. There's actually quite a lot of people who are in this with me. There's a lot of folks doing this work.
What is the title? What do you use for a title? How would you define?
When we first formed, we were all saying, like, let's just choose our titles. We don't want to have, like, a director of marketing and a director of operations and a director of development and all that kind of thing. So the idea was everyone would just pick their own titles. And I picked for my title, and it's still there in my signature line in my email, because I insist I will get back to this someday. My title says that I am the traveler of serendipitous pathways and channel of universal energy flow. And I know how wooey it sounds, right? But that's really all I want to do is I want to be taking the roads that are presented. I'm not trying to like forge new paths, right? We're just trying to like take the things that are given and also like take that energy that comes through us and just like make it into something good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that same way, everyone who works with us is encouraged to gravitate towards the work that they feel most drawn to. And that it has how that has been how things have largely operated. Like we have, like I said, a number of different people in the organization. Some have gravitated more towards doing mutual aid work. Some have mm-hmm. gravitated more towards our outdoor youth programming. Some have gravitated more towards fundraising. Some handle our art workshops or our social media or communications work. So mm-hmm. there's really, it's not a top-down thing. It's never meant to be a top-down thing.
Mm-hmm.
The executive director thing is really a question of expediency.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it helps us to move a little faster than we might if we were like actually truly a consensus-based organization. We sort of operate on, you know, as long as like two or three people agree and no one's saying, hey, wait up, slow down, mm-hmm. we'll go ahead and do a thing. And if one person says, hey, wait up, slow down, we'll wait up and slow down, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And so this organization, Seeing Rainbows,
mm-hmm.
Is this grassroots? Did you start this? Did somebody here in Pittsfield start that? Or is it sort of an offshoot from a larger movement or a larger organization?
Yeah, I would say it's a grassroots organization. Mm-hmm. It started back in 2024, actually, out of kind of the natural interactions of a bunch of different folks in the trans community.
Not even that long ago.
We're very new.
It's only 2 years ago.
We're very new, but we've actually grown.
Feels like a lot longer, but it's only 2 years, right?
Yeah, it feels like it's been forever at this point.
So
but,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. But yeah, so I could go on so much about that. But yeah, I was holding these like parties at my house. I was calling them queer art parties. And the idea was anyone in the local queer community could come to my house and I'd throw a bunch of random art supplies at them. Not literally like at their heads because that's assault. But like I'd like sit people around a table and like put things in front of them and be like, because like also our community tends to be very socially awkward. And so I remember the first party, we had a whole bunch of people sitting around my dining room table looking at each other awkwardly, some of them looking at their phones. And then like I put down notebooks and art supplies and suddenly people actually started talking.
Uh-huh.
And so we held those a few times and I always really loved hiking. So I started like kind of dragging people out into the woods for hikes.
Mm-hmm.
And after a few months, me and a group of like four others, we were like, you know, we have enough programs here that this, we could get funding for this as a nonprofit. Another one we started before we were even a nonprofit is we started gathering together to work on a movie script. We were going to make this like, we called it a transploitation film, kind of along the lines of, you know, 70s blaxploitation films mm-hmm. and like really paying homage to that. And we wanted to have like the entire cast be trans and, you know, like just really make the whole thing ourselves. So yeah, about like late April 2024, we were like, we could get funds for this. And then we started the process of looking into forming as a nonprofit, reached out to Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires for advice, reached out to a bunch of other people for advice. You know, heard the usual, like, you really don't want to start a nonprofit. Are you sure there's like no other way to do what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at it and we're like, this really does seem like the best way to do what we're doing. And then a month later, May 27th, 2024, we formed officially as a corporation and filed our nonprofit status.
Mm-hmm.
And for a few weeks, we weren't sure if we were approved or not. We were actually operating briefly, technically as a fiscally sponsored organization. But then when we got our letter, we found out our nonprofit status was actually active back to our founding. So we never even needed the fiscal sponsorship status.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. So we have been a 501c3 since our founding.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And again, it's still very new. It really is. And that's, you know, I've been to your website and I can see all the different events and the programs that you work with or offer. So, in just that short period of time, you've really pulled a lot together, a lot of great resources. So I do want to address that and give you a chance to kind of explain to the community what is out there, through, the Seeing Rainbows. So why don't you, you pick a program because there's so many. You go ahead and start.
Well, let me start with parties because that was kind of one of the places where we started.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've had a lot of different actually, I'm going to start even farther back than that, because I want to explain a little bit about the growth of this thing. Because like you said, we're very young. Our first year, at the end of that first year, and granted it was only half a year, I think we'd fundraised only about $10,000, and we'd spent most of that. In our second year, our first full year last year, we managed to expand that to up to $96,000 worth of programming that we fundraised for and spent, again, most of that money making things happen. And all of our programming since our founding has operated under an ethos of art as mutual aid and mutual aid as art. We were founded to be an arts organization, but we always wanted to center this principle of mutual aid at the center of everything we do. And mutual aid, if folks aren't familiar, is a concept where it's different from charity or the typical nonprofit charity model where, you know, you have wealthy people giving money and then poor people receiving things. Mutual aid is very much grassroots. It's bottom up. It's the outsides in. It's all of us who don't already have very much giving what we can, knowing that we have a need and will have a need, and that we're counting on that communities to sustain us. So we're trying to build the framework of community support. So all of our events from the very beginning have always been offered on a pay what you can basis. No one is ever turned away for a lack of funds. No one is ever forced to face a means test, whether attending a program or receiving our services. So some of our first events were, like I mentioned before, our founding, the hikes. We were also holding what we call a salon program, which I've realized sometimes to American ears can like be a confusing term. People think nail salon or hair salon, and salon, you know, in a lot of parts of the world is a word that just means living room. And that was really what we were trying to get across, is this idea of just like we were doing with the queer art parties at my house, just hanging out in a living room, effectively a living room setting, whether it was at a venue. Or a lot of our salons actually originally were held outdoors, frequently on trails that were managed by Berkshire Natural Resources Council a lot of the time. They were one of our very earliest partners. So we would hold these events, the salons and the hikes. And salons were like a monthly program and hikes were a weekly program. And then some of our earliest programs beyond that were what we call celebration gatherings. And we would hold these on days like Trans Day of Remembrance or Trans Day of Visibility. We also held one for our first birthday last year. And these are events where we are specifically trying to uplift the trans and non-binary community. We're compensating trans and non-binary artists and performers to share their work with us. At the same time, we also have made it a thing at all of these events. We try to hold an open stage so that people who want to share with us, whether they're trans, non-binary, or cis gender allies, they can share with us as well. We're really trying to create a community space that centers the trans experience, but is inclusive of everyone. And also, a key feature of these events is that everyone gets fed. And again, it's like pay what you can. So like you walk in and what would normally be like a $30, $40, $60 ticket, you pay whatever you feel is manageable for you and you will be entertained, you will be fed, you will have a time, and everyone gets to experience the same time.
Right. Yeah, you have that sense of community and that opportunity to share that experience. Now, when you talk about the mutual aid, I saw on your website that last year, you gave out the equivalence of about $12,000 worth of assistance, right? But you, like you said, it's not a charity.
It's not a charity.
And you also are very clear in explaining the mutual aid on your website that it's not an emergency fund, right? you're not there for rapid response. So what are the things that you do kind of offer? And like you said, it's mutual aid. So what are some examples of something that somebody could give back in return?
Yeah, I mean, as far as giving back in return, the first thing I would say that we ask people to give back in return is their presence. That is literally the most important thing, is being present with one another. Another kind of series of founding principles that we've rooted ourselves in are the principles of emergent strategy as defined by Adrienne Marie Brown. She's a Black feminist activist, writer, movement artist, and you know, I believe we posted sort of the brief principles even on our website because they're so central to what we do.
Yeah. And you referenced that she's an inspiration to your founding.
Yeah, yeah. She was very much an inspiration to our founding. Yeah. Hold on a second. I need to clear my throat. Where was I?
Brown.
Yeah.
Brown.
Yeah. So Adrienne Marie Brown.
Yep.
But that was with regards to mutual aid. Right.
Yes.
So one of the, I mean, I don't want to place any principle above any other, but one of the ones that is always foremost in my mind is that there's a conversation to be had between the people in the room right now. Mm-hmm. Find it. And I should take a step back and say, like, these principles are specifically a framework designed to move us towards collective liberation. And that's what our organization is here to do. We're here not just to try and create trans liberation. We're trying to liberate everyone. We like to say of our salon program and our celebrations and all of our other events that what we're trying to create is a bubble of liberation. Mm-hmm. And even if that bubble only exists for the duration of the event, if we inspire people to create other bubbles of liberation, if we're able through additional funding or additional resources or additional people to create more bubbles, eventually we create so many of them and there are so many places happening so many different times that these bubbles of liberation will intersect and we will all just be living full time in liberation. Mm-hmm. So going back to the principles of emergent strategy, we're not trying to necessarily address conversations with an agenda, right? Like we go in and it's about making that connection with people. You know, something sort of on the flip side of all of this is, you know, when you look at examples of denazification, right? When de-radicalization of extreme right-wing people, what happens there in any of the rare successful cases of that is people made a one-to-one connection. And again, we're not going into this with like the goal of denazifying people, right? But in order to achieve that more liberated mindset, what is required is for us to get outside of our bubbles, get outside of our phones, and actually connect person to person. Mm-hmm. And we have committed from the very beginning to do this in a slow fashion. Mm-hmm. One person at a time, having one conversation at a time. And, you know, that's another one of those principles. Small is good, mm-hmm. small is all. And as well, like move at the speed of trust.
Right.
So we don't necessarily, while we have on the outside, it looks like moved quickly. And that is entirely by leaning into emergent strategy that we've moved this quickly. But we've tried to move at the speed of trust. Mm-hmm. And that has led to literally everything we've done is just by following, again, like I said in my actual title, following those serendipitous pathways that present themselves.
Mm-hmm. And then to your point, like you're saying, you don't want the success in the short period of time to appear as though you're overstepping, right, is what you're saying. But the fact is that it is that trust you must have built, right, in the community, because you have advanced, particularly financially and so forth, right, which you've done very well with the support there, because of the trust that you've probably already developed and those relationships that you've developed and those one-on-ones. They are adding up and are adding up quickly. So it's a great strategy.
We sure hope so, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it is slow work, and I'm not going to pretend like everyone trusts us. You know, there's always,
sure.
there's always
work to be done.
There's right. always work to be yeah. done. And we're not trying to reach everyone. Mm-hmm. We can't reach everyone. And that's an impossible task, mm-hmm. but we are trying to do what we can. And like I said, you know, we're trying to create these bubbles of liberation. And the more we can do that, the more we can achieve that, not just for the trans and non-binary and gender non-conforming community, but for everyone around us.
Mm-hmm. And some of the other programs that you do, you already mentioned about the hikes, mm-hmm. right? And you have a relationship with Berkshire Natural Resource Council, as we know that they are one of the main forces here in Berkshire County when it comes to the trail maintenance, and you know, they're working on having that. I forget the name of the name of the trail that they're trying to create from top to bottom. The something highway.
I think it's the high road.
The high road. Thank you.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I should know that. So they're doing so much in this community, and it's great that you've connected with them in some regard. The hikes that you do. I know this time of year is probably a little bit reserved as far as getting out there in the weather, right? But tell me a little bit about how that came to be. I know you said you used to enjoy hiking. So how did that kind of transcend into a program within Seeing Rainbows?
So yeah, it started out before we were even a nonprofit. I was just like, well, I like going hiking, and I like going hiking with my kids. Mm-hmm. And I know these trails are some of the more accessible trails that are out there. So I started kind of like dragging other people out there with me. And something we saw even again before our official founding was, you know, there were people joining us there who'd lived here their whole lives and had never been on one of these trails. Mm-hmm. There were people who joined us who were recent internally displaced refugees from places like Montana, Alabama, Texas, Florida. I'm like trying to think of people here, like all kinds of different places. And they came to join us on the trails, and they were like, you know, I came here trying to escape the violence, trying to escape the laws that my state was passing against our people. And I never expected to find anything like this. And so that was like a real impetus for us to continue that as an official program. Mm-hmm. Under the nonprofit. And once we formed as a nonprofit, it was actually literally our first funded program. We got a grant from the New England Grassroots Environmental Fund. That was the very first funding we received, and it was only $1,000. But that was enough to fund our first 6 paid hikes. And what that meant was we were able to pay a trans or non-binary facilitator to lead people on the hikes. And so that was a way that we could ensure that there would always be someone out there on the trail, mm-hmm. someone who knew the trail, and who could kind of ground that for other people. It also meant it didn't always have to be me leading the hike.
Yeah.
And we ran that program all throughout 2025. It extended, thanks to a grant in 2025 from the Massachusetts Office of Outdoor Recreation, which we did not win for 2026. So the program has actually been on hiatus this winter, partly because of the weather, partly because of a lack of funding. We will not run programs where we're not paying people to do the work. We do not have volunteers. We don't ask for volunteers. We don't want, I say that, we're happy to take cis volunteers. We're not gonna have trans people who are already marginalized do the work without getting paid for it. But if other folks want to volunteer their time to help out with things, we're happy to hear it. But most of the work we prefer to be done by people within our community. Again, very much that principle of nothing about us without us. But that being said, we do have a few strong allies who've been a support in a lot of other ways. Like I'm kind of segueing to talk about another program here. But since shortly after our founding, we've been able to offer regular CSA shares, thanks to a partnership with Heart and Soil Collective. They offered that to trans homes up and down the county from North Adams all the way down to South Egremont for 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. And they are in the process right now of fundraising actually to continue mm-hmm. to produce that for us. So it's been a very like kind of hands-off program for us. Like they do the fundraising, they do all the work, and then they feed us.
Yeah.
So like that's a really strong example of allyship. Like we have a link on our website where you can go and sign up for the wait list right now, which I strongly encourage folks in the folks in the trans and non-binary community to go and do. Visit our website at seeingrainbows.org, and it's under, I think, the mutual aid programs, and just sign up for the CSA share wait list, because once we do get that funded, they will start delivering to people. Mm-hmm. But also go and support Heart and Soil, because that support that goes to them directly helps mm-hmm. our community.
Yeah. And Heart and Soil has been here on this show.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Probably about a year ago. So it was nice to highlight them and that was something they did talk about. So again, this goes back to, you know, a good part of the strength probably behind some of your growth is these partnerships that you've had, right?
So 100%.
The NRC, Heart and Soil, Wander.
Yeah.
Right?
Wander has been a big part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that at Wander, is that where there's the, is it the Berkshire Trans Exchange? Is that the clothing?
Yes. So okay, I should clarify, Berkshire Trans Exchange, while a strong partner of ours, is not a program of Seeing Rainbows. I just don't want to claim it because yeah. A, it existed for much longer, and B, their founder is also one of our board members, Nejwa Squalia, and does amazing work with that. And we have, you know, purchased clothes for the trans exchange as part of our mutual aid programs. Mm-hmm. Like last winter, I think we dropped a chunk of change on buying footwear, because actually like finding gender affirming footwear for trans women is a chore. And I say this as one of the luckier ones, like this might not have meaning to the people out there listening, but like I wear a women's size 12, which is just at that border where you can find some shoes in that size, but a lot of trans women have a 13 or 14 or higher. And it's really, really difficult to find shoes that fit, that actually look cute and make you feel good. So we spent a little bit of money in partnership with the Trans Exchange in order to get footwear. And we have done and will do more partnerships like that as we go. We also, this past winter, launched a new program. We're calling it our info shop, but it's really just like a tiny library of books that we selected internally. And they're books very much focused, again, on like liberation and liberation theory. There's a few fiction books in there as well. And we just purchased these books to place in there for people to take if they want. They can return them if they feel like it. They don't have to feel obligated to do it. If they do return them, we put a little sticker in them that says it's part of the Seeing Rainbows Info Shop program. And there's like a light encouragement to actually write their names in there so that we can kind of see the thread of people. But unlike a library book, we want people to like write their notes in the book, or like write in the margins, or whatever you feel like doing. Make it look like it's lived in, make it look human. So like that's kind of how we partner with the Trans Exchange there.
Now, we got a few minutes before we go to our top of the hour break, but I know that you have a couple upcoming events.
Oh, so many.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about what's next on the horizon. What's the very first thing that's coming up that you want to promote?
I mean, the very first thing that's coming up next, I believe, I'm going off the top of my head, is our Trans Art Workshop, which takes place every month. This month, it's going to be on the 21st at the Berkshire Athenaeum. That is, as we say, a closed program. It's for trans and non-binary folks only. And it's just an opportunity to connect in community and make art with, again, like no particular agenda. And I would say beyond that, the biggest event that we have coming up that I want to make sure to talk about is our Trans Day of Visibility celebration. Now, Trans Day of Visibility is on March 31st, but that's a Tuesday, I believe, this year. So in order to make it so that more people can participate, we're celebrating on the 27th at Wander. The celebration begins at 7 p.m. We have a slew of artists and performers coming to join us. You can find more details on that on our website. It's going to be a catered event like all of our celebrations. And on top of that, we also launched a new program this winter, our very first literary and arts scene that we're calling Dreamwork for the Revolution. And we have copies of it printed and ready to go. We're just holding on to it to actually release it on our Trans Day of Visibility celebration, but it will be available at Wander. We're going to see about distributing it some other places as well, and you'll also be able to download it from our website. But we had five trans and non-binary artists contribute their written work, their visual work, to what we hope is the first of many issues of this zine.
Mm-hmm. And then, so this thing on the 27th, what day, is that a Friday?
That is a Friday.
So what time is that?
That's starting at 7 p.m. And I don't like to say when it ends because, you know, it'll end when it ends.
And again, if anybody's interested in attending that or supporting you through that by attending that, they can find all that information on your website.
Yes. If you visit seeingrainbows.org/events, you'll find a full calendar of our events. Sometimes we don't publish the events that are like more than a month out yet. So you might not be able to plan your May around us yet. But we do have an idea of some of our events that far out. We just haven't published them on our website yet.
Okay. So that's the big one that's coming up, though, on the 27th at Wander. So we are coming up on the top of the hour, so we're going to take a break. We're going to pause for some station identity. We are going to thank our underwriters, because without them, it'd be hard to function over here.
Sure.
And then we will return, and we're going to continue this conversation with Mayan Nuri-Heed, who is with Seeing Rainbows. So we'll be back in a moment.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Will you be an angel for our WTBR DJs? Every day our DJs are cold, hungry, sad and lonely, and they are crying out for help. For only 30 cents per day, WTBR can provide them with clean studios, microphones, audio board, and much, much more. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button and become a friend of WTBR. For only $8.97 per month, you can put some smiles on these faces. WTBR, for the love of radio.
My name is Courtney. I was born and raised here in the Berkshires. Substance use is in my family, in my friends' lives, and in my neighborhood. I have lost my marriage, my sister, and close friends. I am the voice of addiction. Addiction impacts all of us, not just those that are in active drug use. I carry Narcan because the person I save is someone's loved one. If I can save a life, I will. Recovery can start with a life saved.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hi, my name is Al Perlman, and I love jazz. Mostly jazz from the bebop and beyond period of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I also love sharing my passion for jazz from my extensive jazz vinyl collection with listeners here in Berkshire County. So please join me on Sundays at 8 p.m. for my show Jazz Collector Live on WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, and welcome back to the Morning Drive. WTBR 89.7 FM, WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee. I'm Brian Berklub, your host today, and we have in studio today Mayan Nuri Head, who for lack of a better term, is the executive director at Seeing Rainbows here in Pittsfield. And we are just going to go back in to check the weather again, get an update, see if anything's changed since the last half hour. Probably not too much of a change, but let's see what's in store.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Flood watch in effect through Tuesday morning. Wind advisory in effect from 2 p.m. this afternoon to 11 a.m. EDT Tuesday. Rest of tonight, rain. Night is cool with lows in the mid-30s. Temperature rising to around 40 through sunrise. Southeast wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right. So again, good morning. And this is Monday. It is March 16th. Yesterday was the Ides of March, right? 15th, right? Ides of March. So we're halfway past March. We're halfway through March. All right. I'll get my words in order correctly here eventually. So this morning we have in studio Mayan Nuri Head, who oversees the Seeing Rainbows. She's the founder of Seeing Rainbows. And a lot of great things to talk about with this organization. So good morning, Nuri.
Morning.
Welcome back. So we were talking about some of the events that you have coming up. Yeah. And we stopped. Well, you said you have lots of stuff.
We
lots
do.
Of stuff,
yes.
on the radar, right?
Yeah.
And we were kind of going chronologically. We were talking about the workshop, the art workshop at the Athenaeum on the 21st.
That's the Saturday, yeah.
This Saturday. And then the following Friday on the 27th is the Trans Day of Visibility, and that's at Wander.
That's correct.
All right. And then what else is on the agenda coming
sure.
up?
So also, I'm skipping around. This is not chronological at all.
Yeah, no,
so,
you don't have to.
I would just add that, you know, next Tuesday, I believe it is. I'm not sure of the date. It's the 24th, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Wander is, yeah, it's on the 24th. Wander is actually hosting, and I should clarify, this is not our event. Wander and Queer Soup Nights, they're a separate program, not a Seeing Rainbows program, but they're hosting a Queer Soup and Film Night in support of our food assistance program, which I don't even think I've mentioned that one yet. The short version of the explanation there is with the suspension of SNAP benefits back in November, Seeing Rainbows applied for a grant from Berkshire United Way to provide food assistance to the trans and non-binary community. And the way we've been doing that is by giving folks gift cards to local grocery stores. So that's something we want to make sure people know about. We still do have funds in the food assistance program. So if you are a member of the trans and non-binary or gender non-conforming community locally, we still have food assistance funds for you to take. And Wander is hosting this event next Tuesday in support of that food assistance program. So we will have, hopefully, even more money to help support folks' food needs. Mm-hmm. And related to that, we don't have a firm date booked yet, but unofficially, you can probably pencil in May 2nd. We had our first ever community dinner on February 21st at the Unitarian Universalist Church here in Pittsfield. And we're hoping to do many, many more of them. That was, again, a partnership with Heart and Soil and Berkshire Bounty and other folks. And it was just an amazing experience to do. And I know that everyone involved is really excited to do it again. So we're hoping May 2nd will be our next one of those.
Mm-hmm. So that's not confirmed yet, but just kind of pencil it in.
Not confirmed, right? But yeah. Pencil it in and keep an eye on seeingrainbows.org/events where mm-hmm. all of our events are listed. Also, again, not one of our events, but Heart and Soil, who I've mentioned a few times, they're hosting a series of cooking classes at Berkshire Community College, and they have held spaces for the trans and non-binary community through Seeing Rainbows. So that's going to be on March 26th, the day before our Trans Day of Visibility celebration. And I think you can go to their website and find more information on that.
All right, so that would be on the Heart and Soil website.
Yes. Okay. I don't think we've put anything for that on our website, but it is in our newsletter. Mm-hmm. So we also have a youth core program that has been meeting since September. They meet on the first and third Friday of every month. I'm not going to tell you where on the air. You have to reach out to us to find out, and I will connect you with the person leading that program. But that has been to try to foster a space where trans youth, specifically aged like 16 to 19, can work to build the same kind of community that we've been doing since our founding. Mm-hmm. Another event that is sort of close to confirmed that maybe I shouldn't talk about on the air yet, but I'm gonna, because that's who I am. We've been working with our local rep, Tricia Farley Bouvier, to set up a town hall for Pittsfield trans residents. We don't have a location confirmed yet, but just stay tuned on our website, sign up for our newsletter, and you'll find out all the details about that. And then coming up every month, we always have our narrative processing and liberatory visioning workshop, which was an offshoot of our original salon program. And that's just a space where we meet in order to, it's exactly what it sounds, we process through narratives and we're trying to vision liberation. I would call this a core part of our practice as an organization. Going through that practice specifically is part of what led me to envision some of what has become Seeing Rainbows. So I encourage anyone who wants to build liberation with us to join us at that monthly program, which takes place at Wander on the second Sunday of every month, which I believe makes the next one April 12th. I'm going off the top of my head while trying to look at my calendar mm-hmm. on my phone. Yes, April 12th.
Okay. So April 12th, that's the date for that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So anybody who's just joining us, thank you for joining us this Monday morning here on the Morning Drive. I am Brian Burkle. I'm the guest host today, and I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, this is an hour-long conversation, as it is every day, and if you can't, maybe you missed some part of the conversation, and there's something that you wanted to see, you can always go to PCTV and look up the recordings of these morning shows. They're all there, going all the way back, so anything that Bill Sturgeon, Sean Sear, Donna Todd Rivers, Ellen Speer, or Bob Hack or myself have done, it's all there. So you can go through the library and look back on different topics if there's something that you missed today that you want to follow up on. Because there is an awful lot to talk about with Seeing Rainbows. And we have Nuri here, who is the executive director for all practical purposes. It's a title, right? I know that you can you give me again how it is that you define your role?
Yeah. So in my I'm also trying to look up our calendar here.
Okay.
So in my email signature, mm-hmm. since our very beginning, because we very much wanted people to be able to choose their own titles. Like I have come from a long nonprofit experience, and I didn't want us to foster a kind of space where it was, we have a director of marketing and a director of development. People get very stuck in these lanes, mm-hmm. and their feelings get hurt if they feel like someone's in their lane. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to establish those lanes really early on. And something else, you know, with the way our programming operates along these lines of mutual aid and art, we don't want it to become the kind of place where we have like a director of mutual aid and a director of arts programming, because then we'll wind up with a director of mutual aid who's like, well, mutual aid is the reason we're here, and this is like so important, and this is the most important thing. And then a director of arts programming who's like, well, we're an arts organization and we're here for arts programming. This is the most important reason for us to be here.
Battle of the directors.
It is both things. It is both things intertwined. Like neither is inseparable from the other. So my rather convoluted title that I hold dear is Traveler of Serendipitous Pathways and Channel of Universal Energy Flow, because that is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to, every program we've done, everything we've created has come from having a conversation with someone, from having hikes on BNRC's trails to CSA shares with Heart and Soil to, we were running dance classes with Berkshire Pulse for a time. All of these programs come from having conversations with people. Mm-hmm. So finding what those, like I say, serendipitous pathways are, what are the opportunities that present themselves, mm-hmm. and then taking the energy that's there and channeling it into that, mm-hmm. and creating something for everyone else to make use of.
Yeah. So when you said, you mentioned communicating, mm-hmm. right, and the communications, and we talked earlier about the one-on-ones that you're having with folks to try to get people to understand what it is that Seeing Rainbows does. But we also recognize that there are a lot of people who don't understand the whole transgender world.
Oh,
right?
Goodness, yes.
And so I'd like to have maybe an opportunity to kind of do a little education about some of the terminology.
Yeah.
I believe you recognize yourself as a trans woman.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Okay. Yes.
So I know that there are a lot of people out there who don't understand if the suffix is woman or man, what that means, you know what I mean? So could you enlighten all of us a little bit on what that means?
So the simple explanation is I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. And trans is a modifier for that. It just means that I am a woman whose gender assigned at birth was something different. Trans means across, to travel, mm-hmm. right? So I have traveled across gender lines, right? And trans is actually a very inclusive term. Trans can mean anyone whose gender differs even just a little bit from what it was assigned at birth. And that's a term we use to refer to what they write down on your birth certificate when they take a look at your, I don't even know if I can say it on the air, right? But so much of our society is like based on that, right? Uh-huh. And honestly, as a trans woman, that's one of the first things people, whether they admit it or not, want to know about me when they see me is like, what do you got down there? And, you know, it's really not about that.
Mm-hmm.
We all, well, I don't want to say all, because everyone's experience of transness is very different, but we all have very different experiences of gender, but some of us have a clearer internal understanding of our gender,
mm-hmm.
than others. And it drives us to present in this way, right, as our natural selves. And in a way, it's more of for me, I describe it as more of like a letting go of all the things that were holding me back. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not a thing that is, it is a thing that is very effortful, but it actually required more effort to try to pretend to be something I wasn't.
Right. And then, obviously there's a lot of language, and I encourage people to do some research, right? To try to understand what some of the different languages mean, some of the different terms, gender fluid, non-binary. Mm-hmm. These are still things that are new to our lexicon, right? And some just
yes,
well,
and
well, to a lot of people,
it's a lot of people. Yeah. But like, you know, there have been trans people in history, mm-hmm. going back to the earliest recorded history, like Mesopotamia, mm-hmm. or, you know, like these things have existed and have been recognized in our society for millennia.
Right.
A lot of the time we were held up as priestesses or sorcerers, or feared as such. And the fear of trans people is something that is also very, very old. But ultimately, we're just people who have like been here forever. And sometimes, you know, we do have right now a little bit more terminology, like some of it can perhaps be confusing if you're not like in the lingo, things like gender fluid, which just refers to someone whose understanding of their gender identity and expression can shift from time to time. You know, non-binary simply means that someone who does not express along a gender binary, mm-hmm. which, you know, I could probably start a whole debate by getting into that, but, you know, there's a common thread, I would say, at least in the trans community, that there is no such thing as a gender binary. Gender binary is a construct. So even if you identify as what you might call a binary trans woman, or a binary trans man, which it would just mean, you know, you had your assigned sex at birth and have transitioned to the opposite, right? If there can be said to be an opposite. But there is this thread of rejecting the entire idea of gender as a binary. And like, gender ultimately is very much a social construct. Gender expression certainly is. It varies widely from culture to culture. Things like hair length, for example, or whether people have facial hair, even like cis women. Cis is a term referring to cisgendered, meaning on the same side as, right? So cis versus trans, that just means it's, again, another modifier, right? A cisgendered person is someone whose gender expression is still on the same side as their gender assigned at birth, whereas a trans person is a person whose gender has crossed over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you find with your experiences here in Berkshire County? Do you find that people in Berkshire County are supportive? Do you see challenges for your community?
Yes. Both.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know, Berkshire County is famously small and wonderfully diverse, mm-hmm. you know, in every way. And I think, you know, there's this idea that pervades that somehow we're not a very diverse community, but we are a very, very diverse community. And in literally every way, like whether it's gender or economic background or race or ethnicity or religion, all of these things, you can find every kind of person here.
Mm-hmm. In Berkshire County.
And I've encountered both things. I've encountered more than those things. I've encountered people who are very, very supportive. I've encountered people who were very much not. I've encountered people who thought they were being very supportive and were not. Mm-hmm. I have encountered people who were unexpectedly supportive, you know? So it can come in all kinds of ways. And I think, you know, the trans community here does face particular challenges, which are not always necessarily unique to the trans community. But, you know, there's something we talk about a lot in our work, which is like intersectionality and intersections of marginalization. Because the trans community does have a tendency, due to systemic oppression, to be more economically oppressed than the population at large, right? Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. not to say that there aren't people who are cisgendered who are economically disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. Of course there are. But you find a higher incidence of economic disadvantagement, if that's a word, in the trans community. And some
is
that, of that,
is that
simply
employment
comes
related? Is that what it comes down to? Yeah.
Yeah. It does often simply come down to employment. I'm not going to start naming names here, but like I found shortly after I came out, I was working in an arts field and I thought it would be a pretty accepting environment. And you may be aware, you know, Massachusetts passed question number 3, like I think 10 years ago at this point, which enshrined certain protections for trans folks, one of which is you cannot be fired within 3 months of coming out. You have that protection. But about 2 months after coming out, for the first time in my career ever, I'd started getting write-ups from HR. And I started looking for another job and found another job before I actually lost that one. But then over the course of that job, I also found myself facing a great degree of transmisogyny, which is really just a subset of misogyny, but it's directed specifically at trans women. And there's other factors involved in it. And I don't want to get into explaining the entire concept of transmisogyny in the time we have left. But, you know, I found again that I was getting not so subtly pushed out. And it wasn't like they were going to outright fire me, but they really wanted to make it as uncomfortable for me to be there as possible. And that was kind of when I said, I'm fed up with this. I'm clearly not going to be able to hold down a job as a trans woman. And like said to a bunch of other trans folks, hey, I know you're all fed up with this too. Why don't we create a place where we're going to be employed by other trans folks so that at the very least we know that's not a factor. But this is something I've seen again and again in my work. This is why one of our programs that we haven't gotten around to discussing yet today is our work pool. This is part of why our work pool exists.
Yeah,
our work pool program.
Yeah, I saw that on your website. Yeah.
Our work pool program exists specifically to provide a place for trans and non-binary folks to gain ad hoc work. It's meant to be it's not a part-time job. It's certainly not a full-time job because we don't have that funding for it. If there are any funders out there who want to drop a bunch of money on us to make it a full-time job for folks, we're happy to take it. But this is just so we can create a space for people to do work on behalf of our organization. This is where there normally would be a volunteer corps, right? But they come in, they do work for our organization, whether it's writing grants or giving people rides around town or setting up for events or hosting potlucks or whatever it happens to be. And they get paid for their time. They get paid for their mileage if they're driving people around. And we're able to provide them with at least a little bit of a supplement because it was something that we found was that trans people are pushed out, subtly or not, of working environments. They are either made so uncomfortable for them or they are outright fired for questionable reasons.
And that of course, like you said, puts them all at a disadvantage overall. Yeah. Now, did I see, I thought I saw something about maybe a clinic or something. Did you have some type of clinic addressing that for trans folks?
Addressing.
Like maybe some instructional or conversations about applying for jobs or anything like that? Or did I see that somewhere else?
We did have way back when we had like a glow up event where we were like trying to give people like a little bit of I wouldn't say a full on makeover, but in partnership with the Trans Exchange and other folks to like get people spruced up, I guess. And like it wasn't necessarily just for a job interview kind of process. But as part of the work pool, what we do is we do offer training to people. We do pay for trainings for like internal folks to like get training in various fields or whatever they would want. And we also provide training in skills that folks might need. For example, like grant writing has been a big part of it. Right. But
that is a whole skill set.
That is a whole skill set, but we've been providing folks with training to do that. Uh-huh. And if there are other trainings that people are looking for, we have resources set aside to like pay for what would normally be called employee training, right? Like we had a training earlier this year on how to work with people in intimate partner violence situations, specifically in the LGBTQ community, right? And so these are the kinds of things that, as an organization, we're able to offer both programming externally, but also like internally for what would normally be called our staff. There's a very like hazy line with Seeing Rainbows between staff and our community, because there's no traditional hiring process. Like, the vetting process is like basically, hey, are you a real person? Do you live around here? Are you trans? That's kind of our process, right? And there no one has actually been fired from Seeing Rainbows either. That's not a part of our process. You know, like, there are people who have chosen to leave, but we don't have that kind of a setup, right? So it's very much like a revolving door kind of thing. If people want to come in and do work, they can come in and do work. And if they don't have the capacity for it or want to leave for whatever reason, they can go. But while they are with us, they can get trainings. We also have done like retreats. Like, we went as a community and did a retreat at Kripalu last year. That's actually another thing we're going to be doing this year. It's not on our calendar, but it's going to be May 19th. And if you are a member of the trans and non-binary community listening out there right now, please email me or just email info@seeingrainbows.org if you want to learn more about that, because I need to know who's signing up for that by April 1st and collect our list.
So Nuri, with all this yeah. programming that you've got going on, and you do have pockets of support that you recognize, what are your hopes for your community, your organization here in Berkshire County?
Yeah. Well, so since our founding, something that I think, and I always hesitate a little bit to speak for everyone in the group, but I think something that we have collectively held as a goal is for Seeing Rainbows to no longer need to exist, which is maybe a little perverse for a nonprofit to say. I don't hear that very often, but that is ultimately our goal. Our goal is to get to the place where we are no longer needed. I sometimes will rather crassly say, you know, my goal is to get to a place where, you know, you can see a trans person walking down the street in the Berkshires and try to hand them $100 and they will say, no, thanks, I don't need toilet paper, you know, because we will just be that economically and socially secure, right? And that you will see them walking down the street openly, right? And so that's really our goal, is to build a kind of safe haven for the trans and non-binary community here in the Berkshires. We don't necessarily have the goal of reaching beyond that, but we figure this community is small enough and we can reach enough people to achieve that here. And once we've achieved that, hopefully we don't need to be here anymore.
Yeah. So the goal, like so many of these nonprofits, is to actually put themselves out of business.
We would
at some
love
point,
to
right?
put ourselves yeah. out of business. Yes. Yeah.
well, I'm, you know, I think you provide a good service, a great service, really, for people here in the community, so that they have their own sense of community. With about a minute left, what would you like to say? Anything you want to promote with that last minute, last words?
I would say, you know, it's important for folks, whether trans, non-binary, cis, all folks out there in the community, if you want to work towards liberation, to support us in every way you can. And that can be simply signing up for our newsletter, showing up for an event, reaching out to have a conversation. If you have money to give, obviously we'd love to take it, but it's not our top priority. We need money to make our programs happen, but what's most important and central to everything we do is building connection.
And the big event you have coming up is on the 27th. That's the next big event.
That's Trans Day of Visibility at Wander, March 27th, Friday at 7 p.m.
Yeah. So go to, what's your website again, please?
SeeingRainbows.org is the website. You can find all of our events, all of our programs there. We still have a community survey operating there if you'd like to tell us more about what you'd like to see from us. And you can see all of our mutual aid programs as well as all of our other programs on our website.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Nuri, for being here today. Thank you for this conversation. So enjoy your week, everybody. This is just Monday, but we're already into it. The sun's already come up, so it's started. The week is already in motion. From all of us here at WTBR, we appreciate you tuning into the Morning Drive this morning, and we hope that you join us every day. Enjoy this week, and keep in mind the men and women of the armed services who are serving in the Iran and Middle East arena this week and in the following weeks. Let's keep them in our prayers. Take care.